across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06, and it's August 1st, a Thursday morning. Nice to have you along. Coming up in just a bit, we'll talk to the organizer of an upcoming march to defend democracy taking place in Madison. Our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good, will include a conversation with legislative candidate Sarah Harrison. We'll visit with Luke Mathers as well. Brittany Merlot is still under the weather, pun intended. She would tell you about a rainy system that continues moving across Wisconsin. Showers and thunderstorms basically all the way down the I-39 corridor and then wrapping up toward Superior, down through central Wisconsin, then all the way to Milwaukee and Kenosha. Steamy, humid conditions throughout much of the state. And again, a chance on the backside of this system as it comes through for more spotty showers and thunderstorms. So keep it tuned here to Civic Media for your latest local weather forecast throughout the course of the day. You can subscribe to our newsletter by heading over to upnorthnewswi.com. It's the opening day of the Wisconsin State Fair, and obviously Christina Laurie has put together a lot of coverage about the fair, including five foods you need to try, and a bit about the history of the Wisconsin State Fair. You'll also find a link in today's newsletter to our radio conversation last week with the head of Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy. Again, proving that there is a bipartisan, nonpartisan push to protect democracy and not let any one political faction try to undermine it. As we've noted previously, Vice President Kamala Harris is coming to Wisconsin next week with her running mate. We now know it's going to be Wednesday in Eau Claire. More details yet to come on there. We've received quite a few comments from the mailbag as well. Obviously, always starting with Rob from Tigerton. He says, good morning, cloudy, light fog, 69, very muggy. It feels like Louisiana, Rob says. He says, when I was a kid on the farm, I made spaghetti sandwiches. Mm. All right. We were talking before the break about this is now National Sandwich Month. So we're going to talk about favorite sandwiches pretty much every day of the month. So strap in. And so spaghetti sandwich, Greg, put that on the list, I guess.
Okay. Oh, well, you know what? Honestly, you want me to make a list, like a real list?
Well, I'm not asking you to do, you know, any secretarial work for me necessarily, but if you want to keep a list, yeah absolutely.
I just have a question for Robin Tigerton really quick. Yeah. Is it just you dump spaghetti in between two pieces of bread, or is there a bonding agent that makes it like almost like a block of spaghetti and you put it between two pieces of bread? Because that can get messy. That can get real messy.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's like I have a Jell-O sandwich. You know, it needs something that keeps it there. So, yes, we want to know more, Rob, please. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Plenty of other messages come in on this first day of the state fair. Now, I am not familiar with Millie's, but I understand folks down in southeast Wisconsin. Lynn Economwalk writes in, I can't believe Millie's is being sold. My favorite is a mild Italian sausage with roasted green peppers on a Scortino seeded bun and, of course, a summer shandy. She says, I always start at the Ag Building at the State Fair with a baked potato, then an ear of corn dripping with butter, a Millie's, a cream puff, and maybe another Millie's on the way back to the car.
Jeez, Lynn.
Well, Len, you know, you like what you like. And yeah. Look, there was a place growing up in St. Paul over in the West 7th neighborhood called DiGidio's. And their Italian sausage, it was just to die for. So I've seen the stories about this place, Millie's, closing after 93 years at the Wisconsin State Fair. So I totally get, you know, the sentiment being upset about something closing. So let's see. What else do we have on here? Tony says on YouTube, I didn't used to like Reuben's, but I really like them now. We've really opened up something with the sandwich talk here. Yes.
I mean, let me. Okay. First of all, Tony, thank you. Whoever said Cubano and Reuben, those are my two favorite, like, I want to say specialty sandwiches, going beyond like when you go beyond a peanut butter jelly or a ham on rye, when you're going like more like detail oriented and flavors, Cubano and Reuben. I mean, it's just,
Well, there you go. But then Tony, of course, throws a wrench into the mix saying, obviously, hot dogs are the best sandwich. I mean, now you're just picking a fight. Now you're picking a fight as
Tony,
to whether
Tony.
Is a hot dog really a sandwich? All right. Oh, wait. I'm missing one more state fair one. It was from, Scott in Madison put on the text line the other day. Cream puff nachos. It's a tray of mini cream puff shells with puff on the side for dipping. I'd never heard of that before.
Get out, Scott.
Very interesting.
Get out.
We talked about first jobs the other day. Martin in Verona put up. My first job was at Mr. C's Pancake and Steakhouse on Monona Drive in Madison, $1.88 an hour in 1975. Huge raise that summer while baling hay in northwestern Minnesota at $2.50 an hour. Pretty good money if you're 16 years old. So what was your first job? You can always share that as well. That's a real upgrade. We also got a note from somebody who took part in the Truth Booth. That's something I don't think we've talked about on this show.
No.
Civic media sometimes at fairs and festivals brings in something called a Truth Booth. And Kevin writes in, I recorded a piece at your Truth Booth at Atwood Fest. I'm listening along this morning and really enjoying the show. Thank you, Kevin. The Truth Booth is a brilliant idea. I chatted with your fine staff and they asked me if I wanted to record some truth. I said, what's the catch? Nothing. We record an interview with you and we'll send you the link. And he said, okay, I'm in. Said he's always happy to comment on the issues. He's the one that put in the Cubano sandwich earlier. So, if you ever see the Civic Media Truth Booth, it's not as easy to say as you might think, stop on by and learn more. Let's see. We got a note from Ed about our talk about Donald Trump's racist comments at the NABJ yesterday. Hope you focus on Kamala's drastic changing her viewpoints just to get elected.
Huh?
Ed. Do we want to start talking about Donald Trump and the positions that he had before he decided to run for president? I mean,
remember when he was a Democrat?
Yeah, remember that? Oh, those were the years, huh? Right? Yeah. But no. All right. And I think I had one more was from, Alicia, just noting our talk about PFAS and French Island. Yep. Please keep talking about PFAS. We can't stop talking about, frankly, all the contaminated water around Wisconsin. One Wisconsin news story that I wanted to share, and then we were going to talk more about Donald Trump and the National Association of Black Journalists. I'm going to hold off till tomorrow morning because I really want to get to a particularly repulsive comment that he made there about pardoning the insurrection rioters on January 6th and the way he tried to conflate it with any other demonstration that might be out there when the two are not to be compared at all. But we'll get more into that tomorrow. First, I wanted to pass on a story from Politico about the big shift that Eric Hovde has had on cryptocurrency, which, you know, might strike you as odd until you realize that, you know, the answer to all your questions is money. From the Politico playbook, Donald Trump's keynote address to the Bitcoin conference last weekend in Nashville was emblematic of the crypto industry's recent embrace of Republican politicians. Trump, you'll recall, was against crypto before he was for it. Well, guess who else is like that now? If you guessed Eric Hovde, you're right. He also took time off the campaign trail to go to Nashville, and according to Politico's Daniel Lipman, he was supportive of, quote, decentralized finance and Bitcoin in our country. And he writes, that's a stark departure from prior comments made by the chair and CEO of SunWest Bank, who previously described the crypto market as, quote, insanity, run, quote, by shysters, and said he didn't invest in crypto because, quote, there's nothing backing it. Hovde's financial disclosures in 2012 and 2024 did not show any holdings in crypto or other digital assets. But as pro-crypto super PACs work to elect allies to Congress, Hovde told the advocacy group Stand With Crypto last month that he has experience buying and selling crypto, and that if the digital asset industry moved overseas, American competitiveness and national security would be at risk. So in a statement to Politico, Hovde stood by his past comments and added, quote, I support decentralized finance and see Bitcoin as an asset for the future and am fully supportive of the community. That said, I believe the United States needs to provide a regulatory structure for legitimate actors involved in Bitcoin so that shady people like Sam Bankman-Fried, drug traffickers, and scam artists can't take advantage of consumers. Nor am I supportive of thousands of different junk coins that have no value being created. So I was against it. Now I'm for it. I'm for something that's decentralized, but I want the U.S. to set all the rules, and I want to be able to tell you which cryptos are good and which cryptos are bad. That's Eric Hovde in a nutshell, shifting positions again based on where this banker thinks there might be currency for himself. There will be a March for Democracy coming up in Madison. Date on that is going to be, he said, scrolling down on Tuesday, August 6th from 4 to 6 p.m. Let's bring in Susan Preby for a bit here. She's helping organize the March for Democracy Wisconsin to tell us a bit more about it. Susan, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Very good, thanks. Hey, look, this was something I did not think we would see in our day, the need to march and defend democracy, but this is apparently the world we live in. What prompted you and others to want to organize this march next Tuesday, and what all is going to be happening?
Well, actually, it all started out with an idea last fall with a friend and I, Sage, who may or may not be on the call this morning. But anyway, we decided that we were sitting in the stands too long. We wanted to do something. So we thought about the 1968 march that MLK had and other marches throughout the country that have been going on about, you know, bringing attention to issues that are really important to Wisconsinites. So we started organizing this with just two people, and then we finally were able to get some folks on board. The Sierra Club was the first one, which was really wonderful. They've been an amazing partner. They got our Facebook presence and Eventbrite, and that was very, very helpful. And so we now have quite a number of supporters, and the goal of this
I'll tell you what, Susan, hold the thought on the goal, because I'm up against a break here. But I wanted to set the table for this. We're going to pause for just about 90 seconds. When we come back, we'll find out more about the groups that are supporting this and more details on how you can take part in the March to Defend Democracy here in Wisconsin. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Back in a bit. You missed it earlier in today's history lesson. 10 years ago today, Guardians of the Galaxy opened in movie theaters and had an instantly classic soundtrack. There is a primary election coming up in Wisconsin on August 13th, but not just a primary election, also a statewide election on two proposed amendments to the Wisconsin Constitution that would enable Republicans in the legislature to block the spending of more money in Wisconsin, this time federal funding, not just all the state money that they're currently sitting on that's been approved, but that they refuse to allocate. For more information on how to vote on August 13th, what exactly is on your ballot, where to vote, how to register, go to myvote.wi.gov. We're talking now with Susan Preby. She is one of the co-organizers of the March for Democracy Wisconsin. It will be taking place next Tuesday afternoon. And Susan, where we left off was the Sierra Club was one of the first of what appears to be a lengthy list of groups that are helping support this cause. Let's pick up from there more about, you know, you said you had this idea, you started reaching out, and sounds like a whole lot of people answered the call right away.
Absolutely. It was a lot, you know, there was a lot of back and forth, and we communicated with a lot of folks. But the three tenets of this march are economic justice, environmental justice, and healthcare justice. And if Sage is on the call, she can move forward with other items that are on their agenda.
I don't have Sage here right now, so we'll leave it to you to tell us more about the supporters and activities.
Okay. So we have, as you said, a lengthy list of supporters, and we have Art and Don Chagoni are going to be doing the opening ceremony for us. Maggie Dawn with, you know who Maggie Dawn is. She's the MC for this event. And we have the Raging Grannies coming in to do music, as well as the Arts for All is a wheelchair dance troupe, and they're going to be doing a dance. We also have Mona Williams with Planned Parenthood Advocates as our speaker, Sally Flores with Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Pat Scogan with Soil Sisters. If you're not familiar, Soil Sisters is a group of female farmers who support each other, and she's going to give us information on them. Melissa Johnson with Wisconsin's Green Fire. John Nichols is our headliner speaker. And we also have Kevin Gundlach with SUFL, South Central Federation of Labor. And we will also have Lori Lapp. She's an OBGYN fellow at the UW who's going to speak a little bit towards women's issues.
All right. I mean, very impressive list of speakers. And if you Google March for Democracy Wisconsin, the first hit you'll get will be on Eventbrite, Eventbrite, B-R-I-T-E. And you can get registered there and learn a bit more about it. It's a pretty brief agenda that it says 4 p.m. gather, 4:30 speakers, 5 o'clock march. Tell us a bit more about, you've told us about some of the speakers, but, you know, what else can people expect to, you know, do, and how can they show their support while they're there?
Well, the end game on this march or this event is really for people to get out and vote and to start doing some volunteer work for all the elections that are coming up. We have a very important election on August 13th. And as you mentioned, it's a primary. And we also want people to make sure that they get out and support whomever they're picking on for their ballot, and also to do volunteer work to get other folks to support, to vote. So basically, it's a get out at the vote event is the primary part of this.
Yeah, it is all about the participation, which ultimately comes down to voting. And you outlined a very impressive list of speakers and presenters in terms of supporters. There'll be a little redundancy here, but I want to make sure that everybody gets a shout out who is part of it. Obviously, the Sierra Club Wisconsin chapter, Midwest Environmental Advocates, Healthy Climate Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Conference of the NAACP, Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, Easy Walks and Paddles Milwaukee, the Fair Future Movement, Safe Skies Clean Water Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Grassroots Network, the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Call for Peace, 350 Wisconsin, League of Women Voters, the South Central Federation of Labor, Voces de la Frontera, Fair Wisconsin, Decriminalized Nature Madison, Linda and Jean Farley for Peace, Justice, and Sustainability, and I'm sure more to come. And part of the reason I wanted to rattle all those off, Susan, is that there are people who have been active in campaigns. They're active for candidates. They might be active for their local Democratic or Republican Party. They might be in, you know, a Rotary Club or Optimist or what have you. But you listen to that group of supporters, and there's no shortage of ways that any one person can get involved a little bit more than what they're doing right now. And I mean, wouldn't the best outcome here be that, you know, somebody brings along a friend or a neighbor and they end up becoming active in one of these groups or one of the others?
Absolutely. And that, as you said, that's really the way that we can spread democracy, because as we all have talked about ad nauseum, is how democracy is being threatened every day. And this election is the most important one. And we really want people to understand that the democracy is them. And it's not just getting your neighbor to vote or your kids to vote. It's getting 5 or 6 other people involved in movements.
Yeah, and again, to learn more about that, if you Google up Wisconsin March for Democracy, if you look for it on Facebook as well, you'll see links to the events. Or come down to the Capitol, you know, next week on Tuesday, 4 to 6 p.m. is when it's going to take place. And, you know, again, get signed up to vote. Let other people know, because the August 13th primary election is one that is, again, sparsely attended, and yet there's a very big, important issue on there. I mean, we would be... we'd be trying harder to get people to vote, but still getting that message out that primary elections are important. But thanks to this Republican-led constitutional referendum, Susan, I think everybody's job was made a little bit easier about how important it is to vote in every election, even the ones you weren't expecting that you'd have to show up for.
Absolutely. And I just finished doing some postcard writing for those about those two amendments. So I understand how important it is. And I hope everybody out listening does know that regardless of the fact that the head of the ticket may not be as big of an issue, the down ballots are, and also these two amendments are really important.
Very much so. Susan Priebe, thank you very much for joining us, telling us a bit more about March for Democracy Wisconsin. We wish you all the best, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you about what you're doing to make sure people show up and vote in November as well.
Thank you very much. Greatly appreciate all right. your time.
You bet. Have a great day. It's 728. Tony from Ashland writes, that is an impressive list. What's the March for Fascism list look like? And I'm guessing it's going to be a little bit smaller than that, though apparently no less vocal. I also mentioned that today is National IPA Day. And was it Kevin or Tony? Somebody tipped me off. It was Kevin about Minocqua Brewing Company and Kirk Bangstead. And of course, they have no shortage of progressive beers. And one of them is an IPA. And I'm trying to find the right one here. I believe it's called Liberal Tears IPA. So I just wanted to make sure that I said something good about an IPA after my earlier comments. If you like IPAs, there's probably the right one for you right there. I'm actually going to be out in Minocqua this coming Friday afternoon. Kirk Bangstead and the Minocqua Brewing Company are doing some kind of event. I think there's a tie-in with the Devil's Advocates radio show as well. And so I thought I haven't been to Minocqua in a while. It's going to be beautiful, hot, sunny. So I'm going to stop up there. So you feel free to come on over and say hi as well to kick off the weekend. All right, coming up next, we've got Women Win Wisconsin, powered by Motherhood for Good and Sarah Harrison. After this, you're up north. Back now at 7:34 on this first day of August, 2024. Well, what a year we had last month, huh? Now that July is all past us.
Fever dream.
We'll do it again this month here with our friends from Motherhood for Good, Nicole Slavin, Danielle Scampini-Lynn. Nicole, how are you?
Doing well, doing well. Just, you know, trying to keep up with everything happening every day. There's something new.
Right. And Danielle, haven't talked to you for a bit. So when I ask what's new at Motherhood for Good, there's a new newsletter.
That's what we've been working on. So you can go to our website, motherhoodforgood.com, and there's a way to sign up there. But we just launched it this week. It's going to be weekly-ish because, you know, rolling with our moms get busy vibes, but we try to get as much done when we can. It's called A Word from Your Mother. So it'll have highlights from news since we'd last talked to you and different ways to get involved and stuff like that. So we're very excited about it. We're also very excited about some new merch that you can also find on our website. So
merch.
Those are the things we've been working on this summer. We've been busy as all get out.
You've been busy as a mother. That's how busy.
There you go.
Yes, I'm looking at it right now. See, now folks watching on social media know that we always promote Motherhood for Good through the Instagram site because there's so many good photos and graphics and videos. Instagram at Motherhood for Good. But now you can go to motherhoodforgood.com and get on the newsletter and see all this new merchandise. This is great merchandise. I can't even read some of it, but on the radio, but it's really effective. So
most of it is pretty safe. So
it's good stuff. I don't know if your mother knows that you're talking like this, but it's impactful, and that's what today's generation of moms is looking to be is impactful. That takes us to today's guest. So Nicole, I'm going to Danielle, you're the one who lives adjacent to Sarah Harrison's district, right? Why don't you kick things off and welcome Sarah into the conversation?
All right. Well, we're so glad to welcome back. Well, first for this iteration of Women Win Wisconsin, but back to Up North News with us, Sarah Harrison, who is running for the newly drawn 15th district in the assembly. Is that Brookfield and Waukesha? And
It's all of Pewaukee, about 60% of Brookfield, and a little scoop of Waukesha.
A little scoop of Waukesha. And yeah, she's a fabulous candidate. She's always on the doors, so she knows what people are talking about. And we're just really, really excited to hear what she's been hearing as she's been out there campaigning. So welcome, Sarah.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So tell us more about what those, because this is prime door season. You know, we went through this long season where it's phone call season. You're raising money, you're talking to people. Now you're out there pounding the pavement. And what's that been like so far this summer?
So I will say the last week or so, week and a half, since the change at the top of the ticket, the mood at the doors has drastically changed. People are energized. We had nearly 20 people come out to knock doors last weekend. Typically, wow, we'll get maybe around 10 to 12. And people are excited to be part of the change that's happening. And people were more voting against something before, and now they're voting for something enthusiastically.
I think that's a great way to put it, that this is essentially the other shoe dropping from the Dobbs decision. That helped that one agitated a lot of folks. And now this move with Kamala Harris at the top is activating folks, not just women, not just moms, but certainly their allies as well. And yes, we talked about this with Joe Zepecki in the last hour, you know, the vibe, as people have been using that word a lot this year to describe the election, the shift in the vibe of this overall election has been tectonic, or whatever you want to call it. That's the impression I get, Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. This is a sort of a side anecdote, but I was very happy to have this problem, but I had to make an emergency reorder of my lit because we went through so much last week because we had so many people on doors.
Incredible.
That's yeah. Great. Yeah. We'll take it. We'll take it.
It's a good problem to have, right?
I know, right?
Well, and I think what you were saying too about people are excited to vote for something rather than against something. I can tell you I have a 19-year-old and very, very excited to be voting for Kamala in their first presidential election. And the youth in particular, I think there's just so much energy there. I'm curious what you're hearing specifically, different age groups. Are you noticing different, or is it kind of an alignment through people that you're speaking to, or what are you hearing?
Yeah. So I have a 17-year-old and a 20-year-old. So my house is usually full of people around that age. And previously they were, you know, they were, they're going to vote. They're going to do their thing.
Exactly.
You know, okay. Yes, mom, I'm going to vote. But now they're really excited. And there have actually been a couple of times that my kids have said to me, oh my gosh, did you see this thing that happened in the news today? I'm like, whoa, what world is this? This is totally backwards.
I always go, no, I didn't. Please tell me. Come and tell me all the things.
Yes. Oh, and that press conference yesterday, it wasn't a press conference, the journalism conference yesterday. Wow.
And both of us were in just happened to be in Chicago. I did not even know he was going to be there. And so I was in my office. I usually work remotely, but my office is like downtown Chicago. And there was just this swarm of Gen Z employees like circled around a table, like across the room. And I was listening. I was like, yeah, like, I mean, just in real time reacting to what is happening, because it is just wild.
Yep. Yep. And we're seeing all the different groups that are organizing calls. I was on an organizers for Harris call the other night, which was really kind of interesting because it's, you know, all of us political nerds all getting together and talking about it. So,
but I think that's a good thing because it keeps folks focused on the being for something. And Donald Trump, you know, we talked about this last hour. Say what you will about the racist remarks and the offensive nature of them. It also got the attention back on him. He wants us talking about him rather than being excited about Kamala Harris. And he courts the controversy. This plays to, you know, a certain part of his base. So, yeah, people were gathered around TVs and everything yesterday. But do you feel like as well, and I don't mean to be a wet blanket on this, but that now you have to go back to cautioning people against getting worn out of getting feeling defeated, that, you know, that this guy, that he's even getting, you know, half the support of the country can sometimes feel demoralizing. So I'm imagining you keep that perspective going.
Yeah. And you have to also caution in the other way, that hey, this guy might be saying really awful things and people are saying, oh, he's never going to get elected. Well, you know what? We said that before and right. he did. So you cannot yeah. assume that he's not going to get elected. You still have to work your backside off.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. And yes, on one hand, it is, you just, it is incomparable that there are people that don't see that and immediately just go, absolutely not. However, it is also galvanizing and energizing. And I think mm-hmm. that's what we need to run with. And I think that the Harris campaign has done a great job mm-hmm. of taking these moments and being like, no to that. Here's what we're about. And right. that is what we need to roll with. So, you know, that energy that you're hearing and feeling at the doors, what are the things that people are most excited about, most hopeful about? What is getting them to not only vote, but get out there and want to knock doors or get out there and want to talk to their friends or get out there and donate? What are you hearing?
Yeah. Well, first of all, they're just excited to have a candidate that they feel like they can relate to more, that is closer in age. That's a big mm-hmm. thing. Yeah. And that it can be around for a little longer politically. I don't mean that in a morbid way.
No, but yeah.
just politically has more career ahead of her. And the other thing that people really like is similar to what you said, the way that they are handling things, the press releases that the Harris
so good.
Campaign has put out are just beautiful. The way that they're handling all of this. And honestly, yesterday, Kamala's reaction was great. It was not, it wasn't to make it all dramatic or anything. She said, more of the same, who cares?
Right.
And, like, move on.
Like no pearl clutching. We're past pearl clutching mm-hmm. almost 10 years into this. So
I feel like too, just the idea of like, they're so weird. Like this idea of making them not cool just worse here. So I think that's good. But building off of that, having a female at the top of the ticket, mm-hmm. I imagine a lot of the conversations you're having is, you know, for reproductive rights, things.
Absolutely.
Obviously something at Motherhood for Good that we're extremely passionate about. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Is that something that is motivating voters in your district?
Yeah, it's still far and above the top number yep. one issue for men and women alike, especially for women. But men also recognize, especially those that have daughters or sisters or any of that kind of thing that are of a childbearing age, they recognize that those rights and those freedoms have been taken away. And we see things like the Iowa law that went into place. Yeah. It's a 6-week ban. I was actually born in Iowa. I was raised in Iowa. And it makes me so sad to see that in my former home state. I've been here for almost 20 years, so it's not really my home state so much anymore. But it's really sad to see that because 6 weeks, think about 6 weeks. Okay, so I'm a little bit late. I'm a little concerned. By the time I even figure out maybe something's going on, it's going to be 6 weeks. Like, how do
and
I do
you try to get into the doctor in like a next day appointment? Like, no. this is
forget about
ridiculous.
It.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. No. Yes.
Okay. Well, then it raises the interesting point then about taking this back away from personalities and away from the, you know, the national outrage about this or that, and bringing it back to the voter and the issues that affect them, and not getting too lost in, you know, again, the noise that voters are still looking to hear from you. Well, what are you going to do for me about my schools, about my taxes, mm-hmm. about you know, my own healthcare rights, you know, whether broadband is coming to my community or not. I would imagine I know it's still a core of voters' concerns, whether they're expressing it or not. Yes. But I'm wondering what of all those, what I would call kitchen table issues, mm-hmm. You hear about more frequently in your district.
Yeah, so childcare is a big one. This statistic blows my mind. The average Wisconsin two-income family spends 17% of their budget on one child's childcare. It's incredibly expensive if you can find it. And that's not just in some far-flung corners of the state that's an issue. It's an issue everywhere. Even in densely populated areas, even in suburban areas, trying to find affordable and accessible healthcare or childcare, I'm sorry, is very difficult. And there's a Child Cares Act that Tony Evers has given some emergency funding to because the state legislature did not fund it through 2025, but we need to get in there so that we can refund it so that we can get that program bolstered up and get more daycare centers, child care centers up and running. And on the other side of that token, we also need to support the child care workers, right? Because even though it's incredibly expensive, they're still not being paid in a fair wage. So there's kind of two sides to that issue, and both sides really need to be tackled.
And not only are you going to get pushback on that from a fiscal standpoint, because it does take funds to put into child care accounts to keep this program going, but beyond that is that underlying tone that we get from several Republicans in the legislature that this wouldn't be a problem if, you know, a parent, I wonder which one, if a parent stayed home. But then that gets you into, you know, one income is usually not enough to make it here, not to mention, you know, there are plenty of parents who would stay home who don't want to, who have value in the workforce. So I'm sure there's a lot of strong feelings about that at the doors.
Absolutely. And another aspect to that is it's not good for our economy to have fewer people working. If you have one person in the household working, you have less purchasing power in the Wisconsin economy as well. And so you're spending less and then less things, you know, it snowballs in that way. Plus, I think it's absolutely wonderful for folks to make that choice to stay home. That's great, but it should be exactly that, a choice.
Yeah, that's the whole point, because again, even on Facebook, we've got Sarah here saying, I'm voting for Trump. If more mothers stayed home, this would solve a lot of issues too. Mm-hmm. Coming from somebody named Sarah, that tells me y'all got some work to do among you know, the women and the moms out there. And what's at stake for all moms, not just for, you know, under their one particular roof. So Sarah, you keep at it. Thanks for taking a break with us. I appreciate it. And Nicole and Danielle, thank you for the update. Get over to Motherhood for Good, sign up for the newsletter like I just did, and go get yourself some merch. Thanks, y'all.
All right. Thank you. Have you, Sarah.
Have a great day. Luke Mathers is next. You're up north. I sometimes wonder, I'm no expert on movie soundtracks, but Norman Greenbaum's Spirit in the Sky, of course from Guardians of the Galaxy, which we're noting today from 10 years ago, but this song has gotten a lot of use in Hollywood. You know, it was in a Wayne's World movie. I remember some people associated it with Apollo 13. I first associated it with Michael, the John Travolta movie.
Oh, yeah.
About him being an angel that comes back. It was in Remember the Titans, Ocean's 11, Suicide Squad, and then several others as well. It just captures something about the feeling of that era so well and translates well in the movie soundtracks.
You can go on IMDb and look at it. Mm-hmm. It's probably well over...
it just goes 100. On and on. I know. I took a look. I'm like, I don't. I grabbed what? What did I just rattle off? 8 of them. You know, that's really about it. While we wait to, Tony's absolutely right. Putting on YouTube, it's got a versatile vibe.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right. And Alicia Saunders writes in from her own assembly campaign. The energy is amazing. I've had to do an emergency lit order as well. And I can tell you as a candidate that it's such a weird balancing act. Like you don't want to run out of literature, but if you order too much, then you've wasted money and you've got all this leftover literature. So Alicia, I feel you. I know exactly what we're going through here, but the fact that you're knocking that many doors and that many people are interested in what you've got to say, That is a very nice problem to have. Mm-hmm. I believe, yes, on the text line, we're back to National Sandwich Month. I really think we've started something here, Greg. It says here from Michael in Tulsa, good morning, Pat. I like plain peanut butter sandwiches. Jelly is for toast. If I add anything to a peanut butter sandwich, it's honey. And the thing I like about this is not only does everybody get to list some of their favorites, but there's all these little side fights. Is a hot dog a sandwich? Is jelly for a sandwich or is jelly for toast? Would you put honey on your peanut butter? So I just want to make sure we come out the other side of this month as friends, everybody, because We're about to throw down on some people's favorite sandwiches and the things that people say that offend your sandwich sensibility. I'll go first. I would love Cubano sandwiches if they didn't have pickles. I don't like pickles, but now is it a Cubano sandwich anymore? And of course, we know what people would say about that.
I don't think it is a Cubano sandwich anymore. I think it loses its that major flavor. But you know what? Yeah. Hey, that's the thing, though, Pat. That's okay. Cubano's not your jam. That's okay. Oh,
your jam? You put a jam on a Cubano?
Sorry. You shut your mouth.
Hey, do you remember last week when Luke gave me a hard time for forgetting him when I was listing all the guests of the previous week?
Pat, I know what you're about to do, and I think you're traipsing into dangerous waters here, but go ahead. Say what you want to say.
I did it again.
Oh, okay. I thought you were about to get on Luke.
I forgot that Luke told me he was not going to be able to be here today because he's got some other duties that he's taking care of today. So, yeah, I have forgotten Luke yet again. It's funny. One of the people I enjoy and respect most, and also apparently the most forgettable.
Patrick.
No, I'm saying that's on me. I don't know what I'm doing wrong there. So, if Luke were here, what we want him for most often is to talk about what you would find on Civic Media. Mm-hmm. He would be talking about things like the smart speaker, where you can ask your smart speaker to play your favorite Civic Media station. I also realized I did that the other day. I was on Todd Alba's show or Chad Holmes' show, and I was making some crack where you say, I think if you say the word Siri quick enough, it doesn't activate it. But I said it, of course, very loudly, like, hey, play this. And I'm like, oh, no. How many smart speakers have I just because I don't have one. I don't know how easily they are to do that with.
But very easy. If someone says, hey, Google, my phone just did it.
The only reason I know about that sensitivity is that when two of my nephews were like in their adolescent teen, you know, Beavis and Butthead stage, they all the time when my sister and her husband, their parents, would be listening to music or something that they like, they would just walk past it and go, what's the Amazon one, Alexa? I don't want to activate. I'll say Floyd. Floyd, play fart noises. And my sister would get so mad. I'm like, throw the speaker at the kid so he doesn't do that anymore, you know, or something similar. These are high-tech problems I didn't have when my daughters were younger. But you can play your favorite Civic Media station by saying play and then the call letters like play, you know, WRJN or Bow Falls Radio in Wausau. Look at how I feel like I have to be so careful so I don't, you know, activate somebody's speaker. This is such a weird
Because speakers are
age.
So sensitive now, Pat. No one can say anything anymore.
Well, everything's listening.
Yeah,
I mean,
it really is.
Honestly, something that I've talked about during this show is going to show up in my Facebook feed later because my phone's listening even though I don't want it to. Well, that's where we are.
I talk about, like, when people talk about the matters of security and freedom and, you know, all these different issues, like, oh, they're, you know, I can't believe they did this with my data. I'm like, you sign up like every day for something to get a 10% coupon. Once you've done that, that information's in another space. You voluntarily did that. Mm-hmm. You can't be surprised when you get junk emails or text messages or phone calls from people who don't know you because you're putting it out there. I do it too. Yeah. Like when the people are like, oh, the NSA is listening to our calls. I'm like, of course they're listening to our calls.
or they're not, and I'm not that interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? I'm like, if you want to listen to this or you want to look at my browser history, knock yourself out because you're going to fall asleep. Hey, the Motherhood for Good people were talking about their new merchandise, and the same can be said for Civic Media as well. Head over to Civic Media's homepage, click store, and you can get shirts and hats and other gear. I know I've got a couple of them and probably more to come. And I keep saying I'm going to update the Up North News merch, and it's funny how life keeps getting in the way. So, and I know it's not happening between now and the election. So I better take some time to either come up with something for the Christmas shopping season or right after the first of the year. I got to step up my merch game. I just want to start with a coffee mug, just a coffee mug. That's all I need.
Well, Pat, and I don't want this to sound like an insult to the Civic Media people either, because I work for Civic Media and I love it. I feel like there's more merch out there for us. Coffee mugs, hats, more hats, like a beanie, things like that.
Yeah. And I mean, and you know, the folks who named Up North News, I was not part of that. But I mean, you've got that entire Up North, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Gestalt or something? You've got the whole oeuvre of Up North.
Milieu.
Oh, my gosh. Or I'll just put all those fancy words on a mug and a little bell that dings that Greg does whenever I use old man language. We're going to see you at 10 o'clock for Matt and Air on Air.
Yes, sir. Today is Thursday. So we're not going to have Brittany on the show, but we're going to have Paul Noonan talking about sports. And we're probably going to be talking about Trump in Chicago.
I would imagine.